My life is my thought. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. My life is my thought. What kind of thoughts do I think? Do I think happy thoughts, uplifting thoughts, supportive thoughts? Do I think thoughts that I would like to tell my mother about? Do I think thoughts I'd like to share with my wife and my children? Do I think thoughts that, to me, are the most significant, meaningful things in the world? Or do I think thoughts of limitation, or thoughts of negativity, thoughts that are not something that I'd like to tell my family about? It's up to me. I am totally in charge of my thoughts. Even when I see things in the newspaper, I see things on television, I hear things on the radio, I hear things from other people. No matter what I hear or see or know about, they become my thoughts. And I have to be very, very careful what I allow to become my thoughts, because they not only become my thoughts, they become who I am. If I allow myself to get so excited about presidential elections, or if I allow myself to get so excited about the wars in other worlds, if I allow myself to get so excited about the health condition of any individual, including myself, I am possessed by that thought. Now, if that thought is a thought of peace and harmony and joy and goodness, that's well and good. But all too often, it's not. All too often, the thoughts that I entertain in my mind are thoughts of frustration, thoughts of insecurity, thoughts of being unhappy with something that is going on in the world. And that unhappiness just grows and grows inside of me. And as it grows inside of me, it's a festering sort of a thing. It causes all sorts of other conditions to take place inside of me that do not bring about happy results in my world. And I really don't like that. I see myself having illnesses. I see myself having cancer. I see myself having all sorts of disturbing experiences that take place in my life. I read an article yesterday in the Saturday Evening Post about dogs that go to hospitals, and dogs that go into hospitals and go into people who are terminal, people who are terrible, people who are experiencing some awful, awful things. And the dogs are trained not to lick them, but to give them their love. Now, how do you train a dog to do that? It's the most natural thing in the world. That's what dogs do. And so the dog goes to the person who has a problem. And the dog recognizes the person that has the problem. And the dog lays its head on their lap, or puts its paw where they can shake paws or hold paws. The dog does nothing more than go in there and be a loving experience for that person with a tough experience. And time after time after time, enough to say that is really something powerful, people recuperate. People come back from the dead. People come back from terrible illnesses, and they let them go, and they're able to handle themselves, and they're able to feel life's worthwhile. And they wave at the dog, even though they had never moved a finger for a long time. Oh, yes. Dogs are healing agents. They cause people to think of something different than their problem. They cause people to think of a life of joy. They cause people to remember when they had pets and when they had a loving dog. And the loving dog just sort of snuggles into their heart, snuggles into their body, snuggles into their being. And they let go of all that unhappiness that they had. Oh, it may take a visit or two. Usually it's just one. Because when the dog comes in, the nurses, the doctors, everyone wants to peek and see what the dog's doing because they know that dog is doing nothing but good. They know that dog is a very special dog. Being very special, just plain, pure, unconditional love. That dog is giving to that person something very wonderful. Now, the nurses surely are giving something wonderful to the patients, too, and the doctors also, and the families, and the friends, and all the world is giving something wonderful to those patients. But how does the dog succeed where others have not accomplished the goal that they'd like to have? How does a dog bring into the life of other people who are suffering experiences? How does a dog bring into their life the feeling of goodness and happiness? I would say every family should have a dog, and they should learn how to take care of them and learn how to love them and learn how to just unconditionally let the puppy, let the dog, let that dog be something special in their life. These patients in the hospital, they're living proof that a dog's unconditional love brings with it a healing balm, something very special. Now, if a dog who doesn't know the person, who doesn't care about the person, who just goes in there and says, "Hey, you hurt, I love you. I'm going to shower you with my love." My goodness. Just imagine if everyone who went into the hospital to see someone went in there and just showered them with their unconditional love like a dog. Oh, my, my, what wonderful things would happen. And what wonderful things would happen if we, in our family, in ourself, were just to shower our family and ourselves with our unconditional love. If we were just to be like that dog, like any dog that comes in and senses when you have a problem, senses when things are not going the way you'd like them to, and just puts their head on your lap or just licks your face or just tells, "Hey, it's okay, I love you, I love you." And the dog loves you and pays attention to you. And then once you got a hold of yourself, the dog goes and pays attention to his bone. He goes to do other things. He's not possessed by the past. Whatever that past may be, he's not possessed by it. That's long gone. He's on to new adventures. He's on to the now. He's on to living in now. Can you, can I live in the now? Can we live in the present tense? Can we, with unconditional love, love ourselves, love our world, love our friends? Could we go to the hospital and put our hand on somebody and say, "I love you," and just have such unconditional love that that person sits up and says, "Hi, oh, I feel so good. How are you today?" You know, and they don't even know that you did it, that it was your love that pulled them out of their lethargy. It was your love that brought them forth from that experience that had not been too happy for them. It was your love that gave life new meaning for them. It was your love that opened the doorway of their inner wholeness. You didn't heal them. You didn't help them. You didn't do anything. You were just yourself. But you were a vibration of absolute goodness. And they were ready to receive that vibration of absolute goodness. And when the dog put his head on their lap, when the dog touched their hand with his paw, when the dog loved them unconditionally and said, "Hi, I love you. I know you're struggling through something, but hey, I love you. You're nice. Whatever you got, don't bother me. I just look at you and I say, I love you. I think you're wonderful." Could we say something as significant, as beautiful, as timely, as purposeful as that? Yes, we can. We can do that by training ourselves to do it. The dog was trained not to lick the patients. The dog was trained to have a sheet put down on the patient's lap first and then put his head on the sheet. The dog was trained to adhere to certain rules that the hospital had and rules that the trainer had. And the dog didn't think those rules were unworthy or not desirable or not right. The dog just flowed with them. The dog just said, hey, somebody's got a problem there. Let's go over and love them. Hey, somebody's got, hey, oh, that's all right. And they lick you and they lick you. And they say, hey, you're nice. Oh, I tell you. Yes. That's what love is all about. That's what pure healing is all about. That's what pure wholeness is all about. It's a matter of returning from that state of consciousness where we feel sorry for ourselves, where things just are not going too well. We return from that state of negative consciousness to the state of positive consciousness, which is our natural state of consciousness. And we are ready to walk wonderfully, beautifully. Gertrude Suter has a couple of children that just love her dearly. And every time they think of her, they say, Mommy, you're wonderful. And Gertrude had an operation the other day, and the children all came over and blessed her and loved her and surrounded her. And she acted just as though she hadn't had the operation. It was just as though she had always been the lady who was whole and perfect that she is. And as she did that, she let go of all of the unhappiness of the past that had caused her to feel that she needed that hurt that needed to be repaired by the doctor. She let go of all those feelings of the past that said, hey, I got something to be unhappy about. I got something that I'm unhappy about. Something didn't go right in my world. And she says, hey, that's past. And her children and their unconditional love surrounded and surround her. And as she is surrounded by this unconditional love, she lets go of the past and lives in the ever-present now. Oh, there are many people who are going through circumstances right now. A dear friend, Sibyl Agabwa, her son and his wife had a lovely new baby. And the baby has a name, and the name means living in the presence of God. And she shortened the name to God Is. Now, the name is a Nigerian name, not necessarily hard or difficult or easy to pronounce, but God Is. What a fantastic statement to tie on to a child at the beginning of his life. He was born just yesterday. Now, today and forever, God is. And that child is God is. Now, he's going to live in the presence and the awareness that he is God. He doesn't know what God is. Nobody knows what God is, but we know it's good. And so when we look at the little one and we say, hi, God is, he's going to smile at us and say, anything I can do for you? My name is also unconditional love. God is unconditional love, you know. And I'm happy to give any unconditional love for any circumstance you have in your life now. We can go around the world to all the magic new births, to all the beautiful beings, to all the beautiful consciousness everywhere, and know that they are born new today, as you and I are born new today, living in the realization that my life is my thought, and every thought I think is a glorious, uplifting, fantastic thought. Now, today, that thought is you, and that thought is me. Today, that thought is all that I am, and all that I will ever be. And I am the happiest, most joyful being in the world. Just like God is, born today, the happiest, most joyful person in the world. Just like Gertrude, the most beautiful, fantastic woman, on the face of the earth, a joy in the life of everyone who has the privilege of knowing her. God is. My life is my thought. My life is my thought, and I make sure that every thought I have is a beautiful, uplifting, supportive, fantastic thought, because that's who I am. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.